What, it's good to see all of you tonight. I want to tell you about a little funny that happened not too long ago about something that happened to a couple of parent friends of ours. They were in Sam's Club and they were talking and visiting and laughing and enjoying each other's company, and the daughter paused for whatever reason, whether it was to search out the answer to a question that her dad had asked, or whether it had ding-donged and her attention had just been taken away from the conversation. But what wound up happening is she was so intent on her cell phone device that she did not see when her parents walked away, when it was time to go. Having seen another couple walk by, she was not looking at their faces. She just saw legs and shoes, and she began following the other couple. And of course, after a few minutes, everybody realized what was happening, and they all exchanged a few embarrassing laughs and went on about their day. I think that pretty well illustrates how some people follow Jesus. I think it's possible to be distracted by the world and by what people are saying about Jesus and the way culture shapes the way people follow Jesus, and sometimes they can wind up following the wrong pair of feet. You know, kids do it all the time, little kids. I think it's interesting because you can have on the same color of pants as daddy, and if they don't look up and see the face, you know, they just go walking after that familiar pair of pants. Only when they look up and see the wrong face do they get panicked. And that's the problem with a lot of Christians, is we follow a pair of pants that looks familiar, but we don't look up and see the face of God and His Word. And so sometimes we can get misled. And I want to talk to you about the followership aspect of discipleship. And to do that tonight, I want to talk to you about listening, because that's really a big deal to us. Listening is very important to us, especially when we're talking. We want people to listen, and we want to reciprocate that. But did you know there's different kinds of listening? You know, there's critical listening, there's comprehension listening, there's discriminative listening. I would say that critical listening is the kind of listening that Jesus wants us to utilize whenever we're listening to Him. Critical listening is the listening in order to evaluate and to judge, forming opinions about what is being said. Judgment includes assessing strengths and weaknesses, agreement and approval. He wants us to examine what is being taught. And the only way that we can do that is to really pay attention to what's being said. If you were to take a dollar bill and just look at it, you might not see the strip inside, but you hold it up, and you can see, when you hold it up to the light, you can see that strip. And that's what we need to do with the Word. That's what we need to do, at least with what we're listening to. We need to examine and filter what we are hearing and do it through the Word of God. Of course, there's other types of listening. There's biased listening, evaluative listening, associative listening, sympathetic listening. That's a good one. Sympathetic listening is where we care about the other person and show that concern in the way that we pay close attention to them when they're talking to us. I like this. When you're trying to tell somebody something very important about how you're feeling, and you're pouring your heart out to them, and you're really trying to convey something that's bothering you to that person, to that listening ear, and they're looking at you, and then all of a sudden, squirrel, and they're over there, and you're sitting there like, well, what am I been? Is what I'm talking about not more important than what you're, you know? And then you know, you're trying to reel them back in and help them focus. Well, some people are easily distracted. I guess you could say that. I guess some people are just that not interested. So you've got some different types of listeners out there. There's empathetic listening, therapeutic listening, dialogic listening, relationship listening, and the list goes on and on and on. We have categorized those things. And it's actually a pretty good study. But my favorite type of listening is selective listening. It's the one that I'm accused of most often. It's the one that it tunes in whenever I'm really interested in something, and when I'm not, I'm gone. Okay? There's also has something to do with attention span. But selective hearing and selective listening and things of that nature are facts of life. They are things that I think that we all joke about because we all struggle with it. It is sometimes hard to pay attention. And it is hard to... Well, let me just say this. It can be very frustrating to try to hear what you're saying sometimes. And if there's a noise that is a higher decibel level than you, it drowns you out. And I can't hear what you're saying. It happens with some people whose voices are softer than others. Like, say, my wife's, for instance. It's very easy for me to have to say, can you repeat that? Huh? And it can be very frustrating to the communicator. Jesus, I think, gets frustrated with us because there are other voices that cloud out and kind of drown Him out in our ears. And then there's other times where our listening is just one of those things where our attention span is short. We're just not hearing Him out. We've lost all focus. We've lost attention. We're someplace else. By the way, you can be so ingrained in thought. Something with your brain gets so... You get on a track, and I've had people say that to me about preaching and lessons. And by the way, I don't preach lessons for you to listen to me. I really want you to hear God's Word. And if you've come here to hear me, you come here for the wrong reasons. You really need to be seeking God's Word. And I hope I'm presenting it in a fair fashion. But I want you to understand that there are some times when people hear what I'm saying, they hear me audibly, but they don't make any sense of what I'm saying because they chased a bunny rabbit away back over here on the last point. It got them thinking about something else. And I know you do it because I do it. When somebody else is preaching, I do it. It's very difficult for me to keep focused, so I try to take notes. That is just the kind of way we're wired. Those are some of the things that we have to contend with. And so what I'm telling you tonight is that the listening that we need to be doing is easier said than done. I think one of the biggest things that we need to do as a disciple of Jesus Christ is to learn to listen well. That takes practice, that it takes time to develop, and we're not going to get there today. And we probably, if we're really good listeners now, we probably didn't get there overnight either. And so what I'm saying is we do need to be patient with ourselves, but we do need to work at it. But we do need to learn to listen well. Well, what are some Bible passages that we could go to illustrate the fact that we need to learn to listen well? You could go to John chapter 10, and you could probably say that many say that they follow and love Jesus, but listening to Him is not that popular, that people have a tendency to ignore Him. And in this particular context, Jesus healed a blind man and responded to, not the blind man, but to Jesus' critics. He responded to his critics. And he says in John chapter 10:25, I told you, and you did not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They're all sitting there wondering, how you do this? How did you do this? But you did not believe me. You believe me not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, he says, it looks like I've told you this before. You just didn't believe me. You know, disbelief in Jesus, in this sense, is a form of not listening. Because he's having to repeat himself. I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. If I told you once, I told you again. I'm going to tell you again. Ask me again, I'll tell you the same. You know, he just is saying the same thing to them. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Friends, I want to tell you right there in verse 27 is one of the big identification marks of a disciple of Jesus Christ, is that they hear the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus knows them, and then we follow Him. That's it. That's one of the biggest identification marks of a New Testament Christian. You know, I think about the preacher crisis. You know, Brother Duncan was telling me the other day that a few years ago, preachers were a dime a dozen, and nowadays they're kind of rare. And you go ahead and believe they're rare. That's fine. That's good for me. But I just want you to know there are a bunch of guys out there that are trying to, some of them are preaching Christ out of conviction because they love Him and they care about the flock of God. But there's a lot of guys that are filling a lot of pulpits that all they want to do is have a following. And that's a problem. Because if it's in the church of Christ, they're in the wrong church for that. They need to get over that. But one of the problems that I see in young gospel preachers, and I are one, right? One of the problems I see in some of the younger guys is this emphasis on oratory capability, and they get up there and they wax bold, they do a great job, and the congregation applauds their efforts, and that's all, you know, for them. Well, you know, if it's all about Jesus, they ain't worried about whether they get a pat on the back for it or not. It's not about them. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about His glory. It's about His grace. It's about honoring Him. And so what we have is a lot of immature people who are assuming the role of a gospel preacher and taking leadership roles in the church who have not learned how to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. And that's a problem. Before you can be a leader, you have got to be a follower. And what I find is interesting is that Moses had a knowledge of his eventual leadership role in God's kingdom. He knew 40 years before God used him that he was going to be used by God to save the Israelites. But he thought and he interpreted that as, I think I'll go kill an Egyptian today because he's warring against one of my brethren. And so I'm going to go vindicate him, and that's the way I'm going to be their Savior. Of course, he had it all wrong. He figured out real quick, oops, that wasn't the right thing to do. And so he skedaddles out of Egypt, out into the wilderness to hide because he feared the wrath of the king. And he knew he'd done wrong. And so he spent the next 40 years tending sheep. Not leading anybody, but being led. And learning how to lead by tending sheep. You know, sometimes it's funny how we are. And I always joke about it. I went through the same thing. And my grandfather said it. And now I'm telling my words again. But, you know, when my kids were real little. And so I only got one that's really big enough to sit on the lawnmower and make it stay on. They've got those sensors in there. And if you're not heavy enough, you know, it will cut off. And I guess I could clip that wire. But it's a safety feature. And so Caden's old enough to sit on the riding lawnmower. He's old enough to push the push mower too. And I like to ride the riding lawnmower and I like to let him push the push mower. And even when he was a lot younger, when he was about Kendall's age, he wanted to push the lawnmower. And I said, no, you're too young for that. Well, now he's old enough for it, doesn't really want to do it. And Kendall, who's too young to do it, wants to do it. And so that's the way we are in life. When we want to do things, when we're too young or when we're not ready and skilled and professional enough to do it or something. But when we're old enough and we've been trained and we're ready and equipped and old enough for it, we don't want to do it. And that's the way it is with leadership. I find that there is a reason why God said, don't let a novice be an elder in the church. Because he's not ready yet. That position will puff him up with pride. And by the way, I've seen young gospel preachers do that. They start them off real young. We're so proud of them. And we push them and we push them to get them. We get them these speaking engagements. And they get all haughty and high-minded and get the big head. And the next thing you know, they're off. Off in left field. And we've lost them. Because we pushed them into something that they weren't really ready to do in the first place. You know, there's a difference in encouraging our young men to get up and lead songs and do lessons and things of that nature. But if we're not also supplementing with good teaching on how to follow Jesus Christ, then we're not helping anybody. And I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong right now. I'm just saying that's something to watch out for now that we're on that leadership training kick. We got that in place now. That's something you guys need to watch out for. It's something Chris Groder needs to watch out for, and that's pride. You've got to watch out for that kind of thing, because the next thing you know, you can take it away from God, all the glory, and it can always be about yourself, and that's no good at all. That's not good for anybody. And so Jesus tells us that we need to be good listeners. You know, to be a good parent, they say you got to be a good child. Well, I probably failed in that area. I've got to be a better child now for my kids than what I was growing up. They need to see me honor my mother and father now at this stage in life more than anything. And this is a critical time period because my choices don't always find approval with my parents, even at 30-something years old. And so you got to understand that is one thing that you've always got to do is honor your father and your mother, even though you don't agree with father and mother. Maybe your father and mother aren't Christians. Okay. But you know what? You still honor your father and mother. You still show them love and you show them respect. You don't sin against them and you don't use their worldliness as a stumbling block for you to sin against them. You respect your mom and dad. I know a lot of kids, even some in the Church of Christ, went through some broken home experiences and they picked one parent to pledge their allegiance to and the other one they just wrote off. That's sinful. Both mom and dad are worthy of your respect. Amen? Kids. And all of us in here are kids. Well, our parents may not be here, but we need to show that respect and we need to understand that to be a good parent, you've got to set the right example. To be a good teacher, you have to be a good student. So be a good leader, be a good follower. All right, so number two, we look at another scripture from Hebrews chapter 1 or Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And here we learn that disciples need to focus their attention on what the gospel says. Why? Well, he says we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That is, lest we should forget about it. He said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, he's going back to the Old Testament and looking at some examples back there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and now was confirmed to us by them that heard Him? And he's talking about the apostles, whoever this writer is. So, I'm thinking that we have to be cautious about the things that we've heard from the gospel because they could slip. And Peter says over and over again, he says, I know that you already know this, but I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. Put you in remembrance of these things. Sing them over again to me. The wonderful words of life. Can you repeat and review the core gospel principles too much? By core gospel, I'm just talking about the basic Bible fundamentals. I know there's all kinds of things for us to learn, but there are things about the church we need to keep in mind. There are things about how to be saved we need to keep in mind. And so we keep the fundamentals of that faith in our mind all the time. And so we keep our attention on the things of the gospel. In talking about John, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, we find that Jesus says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came unto him and says, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not given. You know, there are times where Jesus challenged people's listening skills. And he did this by emphasizing spiritual thinking more than interpersonal relationships. Very different from what we see today in popular culture doctrine of what people think is Christianity. They say it's more about a relationship than a religion. Well, it is about a religion. You know, pure religion, James talks about. But now we understand that Jesus spoke in parables and he intended to provoke spiritual thought beyond the moment of the actual lesson. But he says, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying, listen and pay close attention to what I'm saying. And a lot of times, Jesus would say things in a way that you wouldn't normally understand it. And you would do one of two things. You would either ask a follow-up question, or you just say, well, I don't understand that, and go on your merry way. You see, the difference is whether or not you're interested enough to ask the question. I think that happens a lot to us. Sometimes we pretend like we understand, we don't. We're afraid to ask the question. Let's not do that. If there's something we don't understand, and it doesn't have to be just about the Bible, but it can be in everyday life. Somebody's giving you some instructions. If you don't understand those instructions, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to ask. You're supposed to clarify. You're supposed to try to, if you're really interested, and you're really interested in succeeding, you want to do what's right, follow up with that and find out more about what it is that you're supposed to do. Sometimes we get aggravated when we don't understand the instructions. And we give up. Let's not do that with the Lord. Let's not give up on Him because we don't understand what He wants from our life. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 43, it says, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Now notice the last few words of the last sentence. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now this is all about a judgment. This is a judgment passage here. And Jesus came to prepare His disciples for judgment. If you want to be prepared for judgment, you've got to listen to Jesus Christ. You've got to tune in to what He's going to say. In John chapter 12 and verse number 48, Jesus said, "He that rejects Me and receives not My word hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him on the last day." I think I need to tune in and listen to that. That's something that's important. And so there you go again. You know, Jesus really has a lot of listening passages in here. I think it's very important that we hone in on that in Scripture. You look at Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. In a more difficult passage here recorded by Mark, echoing the same theme, Jesus says, "Take heed to what you hear, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." Even the sentence structure causes you to go back and think, what? Isn't that the way it is? You have to kind of break this down and think about what he is saying here. In this instance, Jesus challenges his disciples to take responsibility for how well they listen and with what discernment they listen with. You know, all those different types of listening that we were talking about just a moment ago, without labeling them, Jesus is basically hitting on that. He says, listen, I want you to think about how well you listen. You need to really be thinking about that. Now, I don't know that you listen to him very much. You probably may not listen to him at all, but I bet you there's some people in here tonight that have watched Charles Stanley preach on television. Anybody ever heard Charles Stanley preach on TV? Yeah, I've got a couple of hands going up. Charles Stanley preaches for the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And one of the things that he does throughout all of his lessons, you just take any old lesson you want to and watch it. And next time you tune him in, you can, in fact, those of you who don't have time to watch him on television, just go on to the internet and pull up a couple of his sermons, and the next time you do that, take a piece of paper with you and a pen, and you put tally marks every time he says the word listen. Put a tally mark and find out how many times on average that preacher uses the word listen in his sermons. You know why Charles Stanley repetitively says, listen. Now listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this. Listen. You know what? It's the same reason that the International Gospel Hour, the original orator for that, V.E. Howard, lived right over here in Texarkana, he'd always ask one question: are you listening? And it's because of the reality that we often don't. Our attention is very short. In fact, I've lost some of you already. Acts 17, verse number 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all," listen to this, "readiness of mind." You know, we focus on the fact that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Do you realize that's where we go to prove that you know, we always say, you need to check us out. You need to go to the Bible and check out what you're being told. Don't just believe everything you say. But I want you to understand that they did receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind. You know what that means? You know what that indicates? That indicates that they were good listeners. They were ready to hear the Word of God. They were going to take it all in. And so that's what we need to do. We need to approach God's Word, and we need to follow Jesus with a ready mind. We shift our focus in the last couple of verses tonight just to tell you that it's not just about the way we listen. That's important. And it's important to hear what Jesus has to say, but hearing Jesus is kind of the first step, really. And the fact is that we can't just be hearers of God's Word. We have to be doers of God's Word. If we think that we're doing good simply by hearing God's Word and taking it in, we deceive ourselves. There is and the reason why it's a deception is because we think that there is some good in it, that there's some benefit spiritually to just hearing God's Word. And there's nothing wrong with feeding upon God's Word. I encourage you to listen to sermons online. I encourage you to read articles. I encourage you to study or take in as much as you can. You know, driving around in your car is a perfect time to listen to God's Word being proclaimed. You know, we have right over here, just 15 miles down the road, we have the GospelRadioNetwork.org, TGRN.org, and it's produced right out of that church building at Mount Vernon. And it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of all kinds of gospel programming. On your television, you may be able, through your Roku device, to get GBN, the Gospel Broadcasting Network, another 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of visual programming. It's an undertapped resource. And we probably would do well to watch more of that and less of the junk on television. But what I'm saying is, we could fill some of those downtime hours that we have listening to sermons and listening to preaching and teaching and God's Word being proclaimed and things like that. We'd probably be better for it. But now let me tell you this. If you think that is all that's necessary, that just hearing the sermons and listening to the Word of God, that that's somehow going to be transformational, if there is no motivation to change your practices, to change your behavior, to change what you're actually doing, because what you're doing may not work, you may need to try God's way. James says, you can't just be a hearer, but you have to be a doer of the Word. You've got to put it into practice. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. And he looks at himself and he goes away and he forgets the details of his face. I guarantee you, you think about the face of other people more than you think about your own. Now, you might think about your face all right, but you don't see it as much as you see other people's faces. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse number 25, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, and you preserve or persevere, you continue in it, being not a forgetful hearer, a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let me tell you something. It is a person who listens with the intent to act that we're talking about. You know, if you don't have an intention of acting on God's Word, it'll just go in one ear and out the other. That's why you don't remember what I preached on last Sunday. That's why you can't remember, you know, one Bible class to the next, because our brains are not geared to retain all that information. We'll get the gist, and it goes into the long range file somewhere, but the details are gone. Jesus asked this question. I think it's a good one. Why ever would you call me Lord and don't do the things that I say? I don't want you to be a disciple. I want you to be a disciple. Sorry about that. Attention to detail tonight. But let me tell you something, brethren. One of the biggest assets as far as your investment in heaven is concerned, it's an asset to heaven, it's an asset to the church, it's an asset to your husband, it's an asset to your wife, it's an asset to your children and to your friends, and with everyone you come in contact with, and that is your ability to listen. It's going to come in handy. And in fact, it could save your life one day. And so I'm presenting that to you tonight as one of the key aspects of discipleship. That without being a good listener, you cannot be a good disciple of Jesus Christ. You see the Word of God tonight? I've tried to present it to you in spirit and in truth, with an attitude of love and affection, appreciation. But I'm telling you, I'm not telling you suffer with a problem. I'm telling you we all have a challenge here. And I want you to help Chris Groda, and Chris Groda is going to help you. We're all going to help each other to be better listeners. If you catch me not listening sometimes, just go, "Hey, preach, remember what you said the other day?" All right. We got this. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, I want you to know that there is hope and there is grace and salvation is just around the corner for you. If you'd but latch on to it in your faith. And by faith, I mean I want you to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I want you to repent of your sins. I want you to turn from those things. If you don't know what you're doing that's wrong, maybe there's one or two things in your life you know is going to keep you out of heaven. Let's talk about that tonight. We'll teach you how to repent, how to turn away from those things. And if you've never been baptized into Christ, tonight would be a good time to do it. You know, the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross, very important day. Jesus Christ is coming back. That's going to be a very important day. That's two important days that we can read about in the Bible. But you know what? There's another important day, and that's today. And today is the day of salvation. If you need to obey the gospel, today would be a good time to do it. If you've already done that and you simply need the prayers of the church, maybe you need the prayers of the church to be a better listener. Why don't you come down front and we'll work on that together. We'll take it to the Lord in prayer while together we stand and while we sing.